So good morning. Everybody awake after last night? Didn't stay out too late? If you're here this early, I have to applaud you. Thank you for getting up this early in Vegas after a phenomenal party last night at Tao. I'm sure that lots of other things were going on as well. Hopefully you're enjoying the conference. Can't believe it's only day two. Definitely feels like it's a little bit longer than that. Just wanted to first say thank you for joining me this morning. I know there are lots of other sessions, so thanks for joining me here. My name is Jason Himmelstein. I am the Senior Technical Director for SharePoint at Atrion. And I am here today to talk to you guys about achieving better business productivity through apps for Office. Now, what does that actually mean? That's a pretty snazzy little title for something that, am I coding here? Am I talking about building, a new set of Office? No, the idea behind this session is a business decision maker session about apps for Office. I'm not going to open up Visual Studio. I don't code. I'm an IT pro. I know it's on the developer track, but this is actually an executive session. So yes, it's a developer track session for executives given by an IT pro. Anybody else confused yet? All right, so this is me. I was honored to be awarded SharePoint MVP in January. I work at Atrion. We are at booth 2140. In your bags, you should have gotten one of these. We are giving away an Xbox, so if you find it, you detach the top, drop it off at our booth, and we would love to have a conversation with you if you make it by. All of my contact information, all of this will be up at the end of the session as well. I am a PTSP for Microsoft. They give me a badge and let me go out and talk about their products. I've been doing that for a couple of years now. It's been a big honor. I blog at SharePointLonghorn.com. I've been tweeting quite a bit at SharePointLhorn. You can catch up with me there. I also wrote a book with a friend, Developing Business Intelligence Apps for SharePoint. So if you're interested in BI, just want to have a conversation, feel free at one of the SharePints around. Stop me. I'll be happy to have a conversation about it. So now that I've stalled for long enough to let people show up, I want to talk about what the goals are for today. So the goals for today are to understand the real-world value of apps for Office. It's goal number one. I want to learn about the cloud app model and about its ROI. I want you to understand how to unlock the power of the investment that you've already made in Office. And then I want you to also walk away from here understanding how you can drive productivity to new heights. And I just really like this guy. I don't know if you've seen him in other sessions so far, but the little guy playing Xbox, I just think that's a really cool image. But the goal of today is for you to walk away understanding how to take what you already have and utilize this new Apps for Office platform that you already have in place. You don't have to go do anything else. If you're using Office 2013, how do you take and leverage that, what you were already doing, and make it more powerful? All right? Sound like a good goal? All righty. So here's the agenda. We'll walk through this. I'm going to talk about the evolution of applications for a couple of minutes, give you an introduction to Apps for Office, talk about the value proposition of what that is. Then I'll do a little bit of demo. Again, I am not opening Visual Studio. So for those of you who are looking for a deep code session, this is not it. For those of you who are scared by deep coding sessions, welcome. We'll talk about a real-world scenario, and then we'll discuss what's been newly announced here, and I'll briefly go over that. There are a lot of other sessions going on throughout the conference. The idea behind this session is to give you an idea of what you can do here so that when you go off and have these other sessions that it all sort of ties together. So when I pitched doing this session to the product team, the way that I explained what I wanted to do is by saying the people who are going to make the decisions of what to do are not the ones who think that the code and the stuff that you've written is really cool. Okay? They need to understand what the value behind what you've done is. And for those of you who watched the keynote yesterday, and hopefully you all got an opportunity to see Bill Clinton speak and then see all of the really cool stuff with the Mail Compose app and things like that, that's a part of what I'm going to talk about. I'm not going to demo that. I'm going to demo other stuff, but that's the power behind what we're talking about here, and you can do it on-prem. You can do it in the cloud. It's really neat. So let's talk a little bit about the evolution of applications. So I want to talk for a minute about SharePoint. SharePoint guy, if I don't talk about SharePoint, we're at SharePoint conference, I'll get a little edgy. So talking about Office for most of this, but I want to talk about SharePoint for just a couple of minutes to start off with. So SharePoint 2003 in the 2003 world really didn't have all that much application-centric stuff in 2003. It was more of a content management system. You know, it's not an application platform. You had a couple web parts that you could do, but you know, it was more for portals and content than it was to do anything with an application, right? 2007, everything became an application. Let's write applications. Let's write this as an app. Let's write this as an app. Let's go in off and do everything. And let's start pushing SharePoint, you know, for line of business applications. And let's write all of this horrible custom code. Sorry, developers. Let's write all of this horrible custom code that's not going to be scalable and it's not going to be upgradable, but let's go and shove it all into SharePoint. Let's drop it all into the GAC and let's just drop code in and let's not solution it properly. Let's just do it all and let the chips fall where they may. Everything was server-side. It got a little bit ugly for those of us who had to do multi-day deployments of custom code and things of that nature. It was a little bit scary. As we got into the 2010 world, we started to understand what applications really should be and starting to choose the right app. We got sandbox solutions, which for those of you who don't know, it's deprecated as we move forward, right? So we started to see more in Silverlight. We started to see a little bit in this JavaScript thing that everybody else was doing, but SharePoint wasn't really doing much of. We started to see some of that coming out in the 2010 platform, and we were trying to do less damage to the platform by utilizing some of these new techniques. And in 2013, everything is an app. We're no longer building applications. Everything is an app. Everything's client-side. Everything's HTML5. Everything's in an iframe. You know, we're starting to pull this data in without having to have it on our servers. We're looking cross-platform in order to pull this stuff together, leveraging CSOM and REST. Again, I'm not going to go too deep into dev type of stuffs here, but and we also got the SharePoint store, okay? As we're starting to build things, and we're, you know, last night was the App Awards. So for those of you who've been taking a look at the SharePoint store, it started to get some traction. We're gonna talk a little bit more about the Office store than we are the SharePoint store. But, you know, being able to do discovery and find things in a store has been really nice. But the skill set here really has been, let's start to do more with JavaScript, jQuery, than we have been with, you know, full trust on-prem solutions, okay? Excuse me. So the architecture of SharePoint customizations, by the way, I had to do this. I have to work my kids into my presentation at some point. That's my older son, Max. He is Superman. So you'll find my younger son, Sam, later on in the presentation, but I have to work him in somehow. I miss him. So looking at it, with full trust solutions, there's really not a whole lot of control. Developers can do whatever they want. If you don't have a governance plan in place, if you don't have good control over your developers, if you're not using TFS, if you're not tracking bugs, things like that, it can just turn into the wild, wild west, right? So we're putting things into the GAC, we're deploying things out. Support was difficult. Upgrades, very challenging. Trying to upgrade from 2007 to 2010, big gap, right? But as we move from 2010 into 2013 with those full trust solutions, it was a little bit simpler, but still, there's a big gap there. So then we got sandboxing. Well, it's too strict for the developers, right? They couldn't do enough with sandboxing, and we put them in this little box, and it just wasn't good. So we had some sandbox solutions that got out there and people would try and use them and you know they were non-damaging to the farm, which was wonderful, but it just wasn't dynamic enough. They couldn't write the code that they needed to in order to make the app powerful. So then we get into it with, there we go, the app model. Now, like it, lump it, it's here to stay, folks. The app model is the future. This is the way we're moving. This truly is the only way that we can do things cross-platform. In a hybrid scenario, this is the way to go. And as you start to look at it, you're going to be moving more towards the cloud. Maybe as rooted in the ground as you can, but at some point, that lift is coming. We're all heading that way. So the app model gives us the ability to write client-side code, host and language independent. The ability to do reuse is phenomenal. And there's no server-side code, which means as an IT pro, I'm a big fan, right? Developers were not a big fan when they saw this the first time. What got announced in the keynote is more and more APIs are getting opened up, right? Especially in Office 365. More and more is getting opened up and being laid out for us to be able to yield and to leverage, okay? So. Done with SharePoint for a little while. Let's talk about Office for a minute. Office over the years, it's kind of ugly when we got the ribbon at first. It was a little bit scary for folks. It was this awkward button thing that didn't make a whole lot of sense. And as we got more forward, as we got into 2010, things laid out a little bit more open. Started this way, and we were able to insert things and find things a little bit easier, but still not quite as dynamic as we liked. And as we got into 2013, because in 2010 it was very static. It was your machine, it was your stuff, it was all there. As we got into 2013, the big change was this connectivity here. You can see my pretty little tiny picture there. That's the big change that happened, right? So what are some of those changes that really happened in 2013? Ribbon accessibility became a lot easier. We can program for the ribbon now, which is nice. But finding things in the ribbon became a lot easier. The backstage and being able to go in and have multiple connected accounts, be able to find things. If you have, your laptop and you're doing work in your personal personal OneDrive, and then you have your OneDrive for business that you're trying to access as well, you can have those multiple accounts authenticated so you can pull those docs and be able to sync things up appropriately. So that's the account integration. Being able to sync to SharePoint directly from the backstage, really nice functionality. Being able to open a document, make changes, sync it up, and also co-author documents. Really powerful tool. Being able to have multiple people go in, seeing what changes are being made, making sure that you're not overwriting each other, became a lot easier to actually collaborate, which is the entire purpose of the Office Suite and SharePoint in the first place. And finally, we got apps for Office, which is what we're here to talk about. So it was a little bit of a lead-in, but let's meet apps for Office. How many of you are on Office 2013 at this point? Wow, that is awesome, the majority. 2010, for those of you who are still out there? All right, hopefully those of you who are on 2010 today, especially after being here this week, are gonna start to consider that move to 2013. For those of you on 2010, sorry, this functionality is not there. So we're going to learn about some stuff that you're going to get before too long. So what is an app for Office? Well, basically, it's a web page hosted inside of the Office client and inserted from the ribbon. All right, it's right here on the file menu. You go to Insert, and it's this pretty little Apps for Office button. It's already there. This is not an add-in that you have to do. It is there by default when you're using Office 2013, and it's there in Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and Project. Okay? Once you click it, it actually brings up this nice little dialogue, and we're going to walk through this, so I'm not going to spend any more time showing this to you, but it brings up this nice dialogue that you can go out to the Apps for Office store and find apps. So let's look at an app in action for just a minute. I don't know about you, but I find that the one authoritative source of truth in the universe is still Wikipedia. Nothing's replaced it yet. So for me, I like to go out and, I have two young sons, and they're big fans of the red panda. We went to the National Zoo in DC when I was speaking at a conference. They were fascinated by the red panda, so I had to do some research. So went out to Wikipedia. Well, wanted to take this as a visual and bring it into Office. I added in the Wikipedia app for Office. I did the same search. I went and I looked for Red Panda. Looks slightly different. And then I found this little show this table. All of a sudden, it looks exactly the same. I'm now pulling in the same data that I just searched for on the web in the Office client. Okay? And from here, when I mouse over the Red Panda picture, it gives me this little plus button. It says Insert. If I click it, drops it directly into Word. Scroll down the page just a little bit and find some text that I might want to have so I can share this with my wife because, you know, we have to be on the same page. I can't have info that she doesn't have about the red panda. Click it, adds it directly in. Now, the thing that scared me at first about this is I have two young sons who are going to be doing book reports at some point using Word. And if it's this easy, I guarantee you I would have done this when I was in school. The nice thing is that it quotes the source for you directly. Now, you can go and delete that, but what's the point? Quoting sources is the biggest pain when you're doing reports when you're a kid, right? So here they can go out, they can find this stuff in Wikipedia, and they just solved a big problem, saved a bunch of time for the kid, right? That's wonderful, but we're here to talk about business, not really about kids' book reports. So, little example for you. So this is what we're talking about. Building an app for Office is as simple as having a manifest XML and a web page containing HTML and JavaScript, packaging it up, and you have an app for Office. Okay? Using Visual Studio, the tooling is very simple. Again, don't be scared, I'm not opening Visual Studio. Here are a couple of examples of some of the apps that are in the App Store, and I'll talk through a couple of these. These are some of the mail apps. This happens on the Exchange side of the world, okay? So you're not actually adding them into the Office client. This is happening on the Exchange side, and I'll walk you through what this looks like. But this is one of my favorites, and I'll do a demo of that. But also, LinkedIn is something that we all use very frequently. DRC's sitting here as well, so I had to, you know, use her. She helped me do some of the branding for my deck, so thank you very much for that. LinkedIn is something that we all use, and there's the connector in Outlook. Well, there's also the connector in Apps for Office, and this gives you a lot more functionality than that does. So, some content apps. I'll do a demo of one of these for you as well. Content apps are what I really want to talk about, so I'm going to save that for down the road here in just a minute. And task pane apps, I'm going to demo this as well here in a few minutes. But all of this, simple click, couple clicks of a button, added into the Office client. All right? You have to go out to the store. You have to purchase them from the store. Many of them are free. We're starting to see that get monetized. There are some apps that are as cheap as 99 cents. There are some that are as expensive as $30. The ones that are $30 actually are pretty valuable. There are a couple of them out there that are really, really good, and that's why they're that expensive. But you're seeing a lot more vendors putting apps into the store to make life easier for you to connect to their back-end systems as well. PayPal happens to be one of them. So, here are a couple of the supported app types. For those of you who are taking pictures of the slides, by the way, on Yammer, if you go out, this deck is already posted. It's already out there for you on the second screen experience. So if you happen to be looking for the deck, it's all downloadable. You can go out there. You can take a look at these slides later as well. So, you know, in case the pictures are fuzzy. Because this is one that's a little bit of an eye chart. But the different types of apps that we have in, you know, Excel 2013 and the Excel web app, task pane and content apps. For Word, it's task pane apps. Inside of Outlook, we have, obviously, mail apps. And in PowerPoint and Project, we actually have task pane apps. And the PowerPoint one is fairly new. Some of the really cool stuff that they were demoing in the sub-keynotes as well. So, I want to talk a little bit about the value proposition of Apps for Office. So, how do you leverage your existing investment with Apps for Office? Well, the tools that people already know, my clicker wants to work. You're leveraging this PowerPoint, Word, Excel, Project, all of these tools that people already have experience with that you don't need to go retrain them on. There's a little bit of training that to add in an app and then interact with it. But you don't have to go through a full retraining on, here's an entire platform, here's an application suite that we're going to do in order to bring, you know, push and pull data from a back-end system. The required skill set to create an app for Office, simply JavaScript. And if Mark Rackley can do it, then anybody can do it, right, Mark? You haven't heckled yet, so I had to throw one out, Matt. So, you get to reuse your existing skill sets. C#, PHP, Python, the development skill sets that you have in-house all get to come into play here, and I'm going to explain why. But did you catch what I said? We're at a SharePoint conference, a Microsoft conference, and I'm talking about Python and PHP. What's the deal? Well, here's the big reveal. Apps for Office really are agnostic to the back end. They don't care about what the back end system is. We're talking about a web page and a manifest XML. Okay? The developers that you have, you can have them write the hooks to be able to push and pull data right from that back end system, leveraging that web page, and be able to pull all of that data in to Apps for Office. Does that make sense? For me, that was a game changer. And I'll give you a little example here in a minute. But before I go any further, I haven't done any demo yet, so I've got to stop and do some demo. Let's see if I can switch over. All right. So that's Sam, by the way. I'm just going to open up an Office doc here that I've already had prepped. Little blog article I wrote on the plane talking about the conference. I happen to be on the Insert tab here already. Right from the Insert tab, here is our Apps for Office button. When I come here, I can simply click on it. When I click down, and if you'll notice, half of the button, if I just click down on it, it'll reveal apps I already have loaded, apps I've been recently using on this machine. Okay, so if I've already done several apps here, I can just pick them. Otherwise, I can go out and click on the top half, and it'll take me to that Apps for Office button. Okay, these are my apps that I'm looking at right now. Right? Apps that I've already purchased from the store, already get populated based upon this account that I'm logged in with. Okay. I can also click over here to go to Featured Apps and see what Microsoft is featuring in the store. And I can also right from here go do a search. I know there's a PayPal app out there in Excel, not in here, so. So here you go, I can do Wikipedia right from here, okay? I happen to already have that guy loaded, so I'm not gonna do that. I can also come here and click to manage my apps and go out to the full store. This will actually open up the web browser, take me out to the store. From here, I can take a look at all of the apps that I have. I can hide apps that I don't want to see in the ribbon anymore, do all of that. So, for this, I'm going to go ahead and do some synonyms. So this is a synonyms app for Office. First thing that it does is it comes up and it says, I'm going to connect to the internet. It's coming from the store. You okay with this? I can go see the details of what it's going to ask for and what it's going to push and pull. I've already read all of that myself, so I'm going to click on start. It's going to now load it in. Now, this does require internet access, right? I'm dealing with a web page that's now being populated into Office. So I don't have the ability to do this particular app offline, okay? So my synonyms app is looking for me to select a word in my Word document. Let's see, I will choose conference here. When I double click on it, I've now done a double click action and the app for Office knows that and it's gone off and said, okay, let me query for that. And it's now pulled conference, it's telling me it's a noun, and it gives me a couple of synonyms that I can use for that. Pretty simple app, pretty simple solution. As I click through, I can find other words. I can also add in multiple apps at the same time. So from here, if I want to do a Bing image search, go off and choose the word flying. You'll notice it changed in both panes. If I wanted to go ahead and insert a picture, I really like this karate guy. That's pretty awesome. I can go ahead and insert this picture directly from here. And now I have that added in. And it also, again, gave me where it came from. Okay? I now have the ability to go ahead and scale this guy and say, you know, he's too big. Let's, you know, bring him down a couple points. Rather than having to go out to Internet Explorer, go off to Bing, find the information, search for it. I can do it directly here in Office. Be able to pull this in and search for it. And again, I have multiple apps open at the same time. They're all interacting using the same click information. And I can insert the info from here as well. Useful? I'm going to open my favorite one now. This is that TaskPane app. I actually use this at home. I'm not going to show you my personal portfolio. It pretty much consists of some AOL stock and a municipal utility that my grandfather bought me a long time ago. I should probably diversify my portfolio a little bit, but I don't know if you noticed, the screen just changed. It went off and did a refresh, and it posted back and changed the information on the screen for me. What I'm looking at is the portfolio that is being shown here on the screen down at the bottom. Let me remove this guy. And this portfolio is made up of all of these stocks. And here, if I come click on Microsoft, we can see how Microsoft is doing today. Well, it looks like he's already been clicked on, so I'm going to change it. You'll notice Visa now changed. As I clicked on row 21 on Visa, the left pane changed. It's pulling in that new information for me. I can change and see what the one-year graph looks like. And you know what? I can also come here and do a quick search for something else. Go off and find anything that's out there. See how Raytheon's doing today. Looks like they're up pretty well. That's nice. You know what? I want to add that to my portfolio. So right from here, I can scroll down. And I can add this to the table. Now, at the bottom of the screen over here, you'll notice I have row 27. I can click here to add it to. It'll throw it in for me. Pops in at the bottom of the screen. As soon as it adds. There we go. And now I can come in and I can say, you know what, I have 203 shares of that. And it'll change what my pricing is as well. Directly from here, I can also go in and say, you know what, I'm not interested in MoneyGram anymore. I sold that stock. I can go delete this. And you'll notice it changed at the top as well. Okay. Lots of different cool stuff that I can do with this particular app. This app, simply going out to Bing Finance, it's pulling all of the information. We have connected graphs here. This is straight Excel on the right-hand side, okay? All being built dynamically, taking a look at it. It's starting to look more like a business solution that you guys might be interested in. It's starting to sound like something that is becoming more useful than my Wikipedia example with my kids' book report. A little bit more businessy. All right. So let me come over here. I'll do one more. So this is my Outlook Web Access account. That's Sean McDonough. He got a new Oculus Rift VR. I just wanted to show the picture. Here I can go take a look at Sean. I've already logged in to LinkedIn with this, so it's going to go off, and now I can take a look and see Sean's info. And it's showing me his recent activity. I can click through at a glance. I can take a look at his full profile. This will actually open the full web page, right? And I can also take a look at his company info right from here, all without having to leave my Outlook web access. I don't have to open another browser. It's all being shown right here. The other one that I showed was this FedEx package tracker. The thing that I want you to notice is there's some embedded information here with my FedEx number. I'm simply going to click on the package tracker. It's going to take a look through the email, and it's going to go find the FedEx information. It's going to post it back to the site, and it's going to return that information for me, and I can now go track that package right here in the app. I don't know about you, but going off to FedEx and trying to find the information has been painful for me in the past, and this is one of those things I use on a fairly regular basis at this point, tracking things that are coming from, you know, Amazon or customers or things of that nature. So, Benjamin sent me an email in French. I don't read French. I happen to read Hebrew, but I don't read French. So rather than trying to read it in French, I can come here and simply do a convert. Showed me a little bit. Let's see, I can probably translate it better into Spanish, which I read Spanish as well, but I still don't read French. So here we go. Right from here, it's going off, skimming the email, pulling the information, changing it right in the same pane. Okay? So a couple of quick, simple examples. Useful stuff?
In those examples,
yes. So that was actually right there at the top. Thank you for asking the question. Let's see if I can reach you. Did I get it close? Oh, it opened up. Sorry about that. So with those particular apps, I did have to select the here in this mini ribbon. I had to come here and select it. So I can click on the LinkedIn app here, and it pulls up the information. It takes a look at the email. It doesn't look unless I select it. So it's not always skimming for your information. So I do have to interact with it in order to get that to done. Thank you for the question. Any other questions before I move on? Thank you. So when it comes to mail apps, it's a little bit of a different experience, and thank you for asking the question. Here we go. I actually got that guy. All right. So with the mail apps, it's a little bit different because it is on the Exchange side of the world, right? So from here, I can come up and take a look at my little gear guy here. I should put my glasses back on. And here I can go to Manage My Apps. Okay, this is in the web access version. And here it's going to give me a list of all of my installed apps. Okay. Now, because I have them added, it's only going to show up when there is something in the pane to actually activate on. Okay. So it's sensing that there's information, that there's with the FedEx information, that there is something in that algorithmic state in that email that is going to post and be able to return something. It's not always going to show up there, so I don't know if you noticed, it only showed up when there was something that was FedEx specific, and didn't have to be FedEx, but any package tracking system, right? So here I can go in and I can actually push, as an administrator, I can push apps out to my entire company, or as a user, I can go off and I can add apps in as well. But it is a slightly different experience. I have to come here and go, I can add them from the store, or I can add them from a URL. I can even add them from a file. Okay? So more of the side-loading in that fashion. So I can also come in here, and I can delete from here as well, and remove apps that I don't want anymore. Okay? And as an administrator, I can also pull things out of the corporate backend. No, this is specific to the web access version. All right. Thank you for the good questions. So, oh, yes, ma'am. Don't reveal now. Please. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, if you're pushing apps out to all users, that is a really good question. I don't have a good answer for you right now, but if you'll follow up with me afterwards, put it into the LinkedIn, into the Yammer, the second screen, how we do that. I believe there's another session this afternoon or tomorrow about that, the IT Pro experience around apps for Office. So, and they'll go into more detail, but if you'll please put it into the Yammer feed, I'll make sure that we get an answer to the question. But thank you for asking. Yes.
I think you might have mentioned this already, but the fast pane versions, are they available on any of the web app versions of Office?
Let me just get back just a skosh here. One more slide here. There we go. Absolutely. Thank you. The question was, are the TaskPane apps available in anything else, right? So TaskPane apps are only available here in Word, PowerPoint, Project, and Excel. All right, so in the Excel Web Access, it is accessible. Help? All right. I'm going to do a quick skip ahead here. All right, so I've shown you a little bit of what the consumer side is. Yes, Stacy. Sorry, I'm having trouble hearing you. Let me scoot down, and I'll repeat the question. Yes. That is simply taking, so the question is looking at the FedEx app, and I can only talk, you know, slightly to it because I don't know the people who wrote the app. Can you post information back to SharePoint based upon the results that you're getting? Is that the full question? So with that app, no. Simply that app is simply taking a look and returning information in the pane. But give me just a minute, and I think we're going to answer some of that question here for you. So I've talked a little bit about the consumer side of this. Let's talk about the business side and what the real business value is here of what the Apps for Office model can do for you. Take this as an example. I have, you know, Jane, who's working in Word. Jane has to go out to her browser to go search for some information in a line of business application. That line of business application goes, getting queries to Service Bus, and then finally gets data. It then returns that information back. She has to go pull it out of the browser and copy it into Word. And if she's lucky, the formatting will stay, right? More often than not, it doesn't. That process just makes Sam sad. Told you I was working my kids into the presentation. So this is the process today, right? We have our information that we're trying to build in Office, whether it's in Word or Excel, and then we have to go out to another application, go search in an app for something else, find that info, and if we're lucky, get that formatted data back in. And we're spending an awful lot of time copying and pasting and trying to get formatting right for business reports and things of that nature. Rather than doing all of that, let's take the same process. But instead of starting and going out to Internet Explorer and then querying a line of business application to get the data, let's push the browser into the Office client. Let's push that line of business application back that we're just going to query directly to the Service Bus. Okay? Process gets simplified, and as we return the information is coming in pre-formatted. Makes life a lot easier, and ultimately makes Sam happy. Okay? So this is the goal, is to be able to push and pull information. And I just gave a little bit of a reveal of what I'm going to talk about next, but be able to get that info out of that line of business application and pull it directly in to Office in a pre-formatted way that's been, you know, set up and designed. And you already have the folks who write that back-end system. And JavaScript is the way that we're heading with most things anyway. So that skill set is becoming more and more plentiful and easier to find people who can do that work. You know, finding top quality JavaScript developers can be very difficult, so I want to talk about a real world scenario for just a moment. When we connect to our line of business applications, what are we trying to do? We're trying to analyze the business. So first, in order to do this, you need to analyze your business and your existing applications in order to do what I'm about to talk about. Then you're going to create a web service layer, ultimately. Then you're going to create an app for Office. You'll train your users on it, and then you need to track that productivity. Okay, understand what you're spending the time on today. Yes, sir. So the web service layer is what your developers are building already today. They already have the line of business systems. So building a web service layer that they can actually, that the app for Office talks to. So it's that web tier, whether it's a web page or just a web service on the back end. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about that, you know, this web service layer. Okay? Yes? That is a very good question that has larger implications than this particular session. The question was, how do you track business productivity? If I had the easy, quick answer to that, I probably wouldn't be here. I'd be laying on a beach somewhere, and I would have sold that company for a couple billion dollars. That is a very complex answer. So I think each company does it differently. You know, whether you're doing it manually or whether you're doing it through, you know, some sort of automated system, ultimately you need to be able to understand what you were doing before and what that was costing, and then be able to track and say, this is the time savings that we're getting out of it, right? So it's doing that full ROI calculation. Yeah. I think with what we're talking about, and when I get to the scenario, you'll understand, it's more about the productivity of the individual than it is the number of clicks that we're trying to get to with an app, right? So I want you to meet Kim and her painful process for just a moment. So Kim works at a large financial services firm. Okay. Kim is a manager of folks who deal with high net worth individuals doing stock trades on a regular basis. They have scheduled appointments, and her job is to make sure that her employees are servicing their clients appropriately. That's her entire job, making sure that they're following regulations, making sure that the portfolio is being kept upright, making sure that the customer service is being done properly, and that the employee is properly trained on everything that they're supposed to do. Okay? So when she starts out her day, she sits down and says, okay, I'm going to monitor these four calls for these employees. She goes off and she prints out a bunch of information, and then she sits down at her desk and analyzes it. Says, I want to make sure that, you know, I'm ready to go for this call. So she sits down and has to do this with this manual pen and paper process. It gets a little bit ugly. Then she goes over and sits down with Kevin. And Kevin has the call with the customer. And Kevin's doing a great job, but Kim still has to make some notes as she's going along of some things to coach, because we can all improve. We're never perfect, right? We're always looking for that opportunity to improve. If there's a regulation that they're, you know, skirting on, or making sure that portfolio really is as dynamic, does this need to go up to the next level of person? Whatever it is, she's taking those notes and making sure that she's able to get that feedback to Kevin. So they sit down after the fact, and Kevin gives his feedback. If he disagrees with something, he'll have to make his notes on that as well. And then ultimately, she ends up back at her desk to synthesize that information back into a line of business system at the end. Okay? This is a real-world scenario. The names have been changed, and companies have been obfuscated for protection of the people that are involved. But this is a real-world scenario. I showed this deck as I was building out to this friend of mine, and she said, that is my business problem. If only I were able to get the information, have it brought in to Office where I could actually work with it and, you know, take it with me and work directly in Office and then push the information back into the line of business system on the back end when I'm done, wouldn't that be phenomenal? So challenge accepted. Let's figure out how to do that. So how do I make Kim's job easier? Well, she does the same beginning process, but instead of going and printing everything out, she goes into an app for Office and pulls that information out and pulls it into Word. Okay? And then she takes and syncs that document up to her OneDrive for Business, and she takes the nice little Surface Pro that I gave her for Christmas, and goes to that desk with Kevin and sits down, and she's taking notes directly on her Surface, and not with the stylus because Word doesn't convert yet, from handwriting, but she's taking some notes, and she realizes there's something that she needs to tell Kevin. So instead of trying to scribble out a note that he's not going to be able to read, he looks right over her shoulder. They're taking a look directly together at the piece of the portfolio that needs to be interacted with and changed. And Kevin's still on the call here, and they're still talking to the client. they're actually able to course correct while they're on the phone with the customer, and afterwards take the notes, push it back in, document it all in Word, save that document back off, and when she gets back to her desk, she syncs it back in. She's cutting down an hour per call of pre-work, having to go off and get the information together and try and pull it all and make sure she's got the right papers. And if she doesn't have the right papers, make sure that she goes off and prints the next one. Taking handwritten notes, being able to push and pull this information in. So, this is the business problem. Now, what I've just told you is you have the ability not only to just pull information out of Wikipedia and add it into a Word document, which is pretty functionality, but using the Apps for Office model, leveraging those developers that you have on staff, you can not only interact with the document and be able to double-click on something and have it post back and do a read out of a system, but in that App for Office pane, you can actually program it to be able to push the information back in as well. Okay, so take the tool that people know. How many hours do you spend training people on line of business systems that are complex and clunky and difficult that they're not going to use 2 years from then? It's very difficult, and you're having to train them every time the vendor makes a change instead of simply writing a web service layer and writing an app for Office that obfuscates that so that they're simply working in the tool set that they know and love. We are starting to teach kids Word as young as second grade now. It's the tool set that we're growing up with. As we're growing, as we're learning, this is the tool that we want to actually push out to people. So let's continue that. In the talks that I do talking about Power BI and Power View, Microsoft has started to go this route with saying, we know you're doing BI in Excel already. Let's let you stay there, and let's make it more dynamic for you, right? So this is the game changer that they're trying to do and say, let's stay in Word. Let's stay in PowerPoint. You're already doing it. People already know the tools. Rather than having to go off and add in more and push out new training and doing all of these things, make the training simpler. Let them interact in a platform that they know where formatting is simple and it's easy to work with. Does that sound like a business solution? Sound like something that could drive your productivity a little bit differently? And to your point, the other side of it is, it's not a plug-in. This is not that com plug-in model that gets clunky every time we have a change to Word. There may be something that tweaks and breaks. This is the app model. This is my one that I was able to pull together for the proper scenario. So. Thank you. Yes, you do. So I'm going to toss it over. There you go. Oh. So the idea behind this is to try and make it so that we're not writing these com plugins anymore that are going to break. And every time we change a version and we're going out into, you know, the cloud, where you're not going to be able to push out any kind of code anyway, let's start to write this in such a way that people can interact with it, be able to learn it in a more simplified manner, and make their jobs easier. The end user is where we need to be putting our focus, and that's exactly what the Apps for Office model is all about. Yes, ma'am, let me sink back here and so I can hear you. So the question is, for people who are stuck on 2010, what can you do to try and get some of this? There's only one answer, and you're not going to like the answer, but it's upgrade to Office 2013. At this point, that's where all of this goodness is coming. We're now at SP1 was just recently released last week on my anniversary. So it is a very mature app at this point. It's a, you know, the code base was an upgrade from the 2010 world. So as people are starting to look at it, it's the right way to start heading. I know it's not an easy answer for you. Yeah. Understood. Yes, sir. No, not at this point. There are no apps for Link at this point that I have ever heard of. It doesn't. The platform doesn't flow that way. Absolutely. So that's coming up next. So. Yes. That is exactly what it's all about. So the question is, I have an ERP system. Can I have a developer who creates an app for Office that pushes an expense report model down that then we can sync the data back into the ERP system and basically doing expense reporting right from Word? The answer is yes. No. So you have to write the custom web service on the back side that your web page is able to interact with. And that manifest XML is what populates into the app for Office, but that's what we're talking about here. So, from a developer perspective, this is a bigger proposition. You know, we are here talking about the BDM, the business decision maker. We want to do this model. Now, developer, you have to go figure out how to do it. But we're talking about a simpler model where you already have the development resources in house in most cases. Doing that back end line of business system. So, yes? Hey. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, the question is we're on 2010, we have a lot of plugins at this point. How easy would it be to convert those over to apps? I'm going to raise my hand and say I'm not a developer, but I think development's just easy. I'm going to say it's very, very simple, but that's not true. I'm kidding. You're having to rewrite the whole thing at that point. So you have a COM add-in that's going into Word, going into Office, that is a plugin that's local. We're talking about actually writing a web service and a web page. And a manifest XML. So you're taking the functionality that you've already defined. So that's the hard part right up front, is defining exactly what that requirement is, being able to say, I want to take this COM add-in that I have in Word or Excel, and I want that same functionality as an app for Office. That right there, defining the requirements, is step one. And it's the one that can take a lot longer than most of the others sometimes. So. Not a developer, so I can't say one way or the other, but I would definitely attend some of the other sessions. I have some highlighted that are going to actually go in open Visual Studio. So, I would imagine there probably is something, some form, at least a pattern that's in there, but I don't know if there's any code that would be reusable at that point. Any other questions before I move on? All right. Thank you for the great questions, by the way. And to those of you who are on the recording, hopefully I repeated all of the ones or you were able to catch the gist of it. So that was our real world scenario. Let's talk just for a second about using the Office Store. Using the Office Store, we walked through a scenario of how to actually work with the Office Store, going out, and I didn't buy an app from the App Store. You know what? Why don't we go ahead and do that for just a second? Anybody got a credit card handy? So from here, if I go over to my Insert tab, Let's go in and take a look at a featured app here. Let's make sure I have something that I haven't done before. And I will do, this guy looks good. So there are a couple of things that happen when I hit the Office Store. First of all, I have to trust things. I'm not a trusting guy. Evan can vouch for that. So I always go in and I like to read the privacy policy and the terms of use. Okay, I'm going to trust for this one for right now because doing a demo. Click on trust. It's that simple. Because it's a free app, it brought it right in for me. Okay, if I'm in the Office Store, I can go in and I can see the ratings as I go through. So if I come here and I go to my store, you can take a look at just apps for Excel, for example. And here's the people graph. I can go off and get it for free. And here I can go in and I can see what the ratings are. I can go click through and I can actually see what comments were, if anybody left any. Take a look at all of the reviews and everything here. I can see some of the screenshots that were there, and I can go add it in. Pretty straightforward, right? So utilizing the Office Store is very simple. If you are in a corporate environment, however, and you are looking to lock things down and not let people buy apps, a little bit difficult. You can go off and block the URL. I wouldn't recommend it. But if somebody's going to go spend money and buy the app themselves, you know, there's some governance that you need to do around that and make sure that you're having that conversation. But what you want to do is you actually want to leverage the on-premises app model. The app catalog in SharePoint actually can host your apps and be able to push them out there so people can go off and discover apps in your local app catalog, not just the app store up in the cloud. And those will be, you know, pre-purchased, or you can actually go in and say, I want to allow these apps to be downloaded, and that way you're tracking, you're keeping an eye on licensing and things of that nature. So that's the recommended model from a corporate perspective, is to actually have a SharePoint implementation where you're doing the app catalog on premises. Make sense? All right. I'm going to talk about the life cycle of an app for just a moment, because I got a thumbs up when I mentioned the governance term there. And this is a rather important piece of how do we live in this app world. First thing we want to do is actually decide on what's the purpose of the app that we want to have, right? Then identify the data sources for the app. And then figure out which type of app we want to have. So we have those three types that we took a look at, you know, content, task, and mail. Which type of app are we actually going to interact with here? What do we want to add in? What do we want to be able to work with? And there's a bigger conversation that I don't have the luxury of time to go into what each type of app can do and what each thing can handle. This is meant as a primer for you guys to be able to have those bigger conversations, and I'm happy to have, you know, afterwards conversations around that as well. And then design and implement the user experience and user interface. This is very important. I'm an IT pro, and in my history, the user experience of things has not traditionally been as important to me. But Apps for Office is all about the end user. It is about how do we make this more intuitive for them so we require less training, make it something that's simple and easy for them to use, and push this down so that we can get it in their hands faster. You really need to think it through at the front end before you put it out there, because adoption is a try once, hate it, not going to do it again kind of an experience for people, right? If you go test drive a car that is awful, even if they completely redesign that car, what's the likelihood you're going to go test drive that model of car again 5 years later? Probably pretty low, right? Then your developer's going to go in and create the manifest XML file based upon that app. Then you're going to install and test the app. Okay? before you push it out there to the user community, please test things. Please. Once you've tested it, then you can go off and publish. So you saw that you can go off and load from, you know, a URL with the Apps for Office model. Okay, so we can do that directly. We can pull those apps in from a URL as well, or from a file in some cases. But once we get there, we want to publish that app out. Once you've published it, I can almost guarantee you, you're going to get questions. Ooh, I want that. Ooh, I want this. Ooh, can we do that in purple instead of in green? I know, but users like things like that, right? So it's important to understand you can update apps, okay? Because you're updating a web page, and you're updating a manifest XML, okay? And those are going to dynamically get updated and changed. So they're going to see all of this. It's pulling it in, and they're going to be able to interact with it. So you can update apps very easily. And last but not least, there's this concept, and I used that G word a few minutes ago, of sunsetting an app. You don't want to have 10,000 apps in the App Store, and, you know, 8,000 of them are revs of all of the same app. Okay? Make sure that as you no longer need an app, that it comes back out of the App Store, you know, out of your app catalog. You know, pull it out. Don't, you know, don't push it out there. Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry? Is there a way to categorize apps for different types of users? Can you direct it? That is a really good question that I do not have the answer to. The question is, can I direct apps to target to the users? I don't have the answer, but if you wouldn't mind, post that into the Yammer thread on the second screen. I'll get you an answer to that, and that way everybody else can see it as well. But that's a really good question, and I don't know if they're going to answer that in any of the other sessions, because I've never heard that question before. That's a really good one. Let me find that. I think I have one more T-shirt left up here. Thank you very much for that. So, ooh, wow. Yes. Is there in-app purchase? There's in, you know, we go out to the store and you actually are pulling that information. So you saw when I did the demo, you're actually able to click on add and it would actually go out and it would use your account to go off and purchase it.
Pushing out a free app where people buy
I would imagine there is a way to do that. You know, at that point, you're talking to a line of business system on the back end, and you can write those queries back and forth. So the question is, can I do in-app purchase, but build through Microsoft? That one I don't know. That one's a really good question for the product team, which I am not on. So please, if you'll post that into the Yammer thread, that would be phenomenal, because I'll make sure that they take a look at it and try and get an answer for that. So. My last little bit here around this is, my friend Evan. Evan manages an environment where he's pushed out thousands of apps at this point. It gets all cluttered. Don't be Evan. Apply a little bit of this, a little bit of governance to it. Because ultimately, all we want to do is all be happy and find it easier and get, you know, and have this collaborative world where we're able to interact and do more and find more easily. So where are we going with this Apps for Office thing? If you've attended any sessions so far around the app model, you've probably seen this slide, this contextual apps concept. Hopefully, I've done a decent job of highlighting it, being able to have flexibility. The robust APIs that are coming, the new Office 365 APIs that they've opened up. And again, I'm not doing a developer talk here, even though I'm on the dev track. So I can't talk to you about which APIs are open and things of that nature, but I will tell you the one that excited me the most was the self-service site creation in Office 365. Yes. But from an Apps for Office perspective, they've opened up a lot more on the backside as well. The same way that we have the app model in SharePoint, where we're actually able to talk to those APIs through CSOM, we're able to do that through the App for Office model as well now, going directly out to SharePoint as well, and interacting with data in SharePoint. Okay, whether it's SharePoint on-prem, SharePoint online, you're actually able to interact with that data as a full line of business system. They've written those APIs now, and that's all in the SDK that's out there. I've been lucky to get some of the time from the product team to ask them a couple of questions, and you know, the first question I had obviously was, "What's the roadmap coming? Tell me what we're gonna see here in the future." And these were the four things that they saw as the future of where we're heading: expanded Office 365 APIs, better Office 365 UX API capabilities than what we have today, which are not terrific today, but they're getting better. Better integration with Azure. And expanded tooling with Visual Studio. So they just released a bunch of new stuff for Visual Studio. As we get there with the App for Office model, we're going to see that more and more as well. But like with anything that's on a roadmap, we start out with this beautiful sunrise, and things are looking all glossy, and in the end, kind of ends up looking a little bit more like this. So that blurriness that, you know, let's get there. So keep an eye out for it. That's the vision of where we're heading. Don't be surprised if it comes in rapid fire format. A couple of sessions I would like to recommend for you over the course of the rest of the conference. Some of these talk about Apps for Office. Some of them are just sessions I'm personally excited about. Building SharePoint apps with Windows Azure Platform as a Service with Kirk Evans. Kirk's phenomenal, and that's a really good session. I've seen part of it. He is extremely jazzed about it. A strategic and pragmatic conversation on governance. If you don't know what governance is, shame on you. But hopefully everybody here knows what governance is. Please make your way over and see Eric Riz on Wednesday morning, 9 a.m. All of you were up early this morning with me, so I know you're early risers. And then creating cloud-hosted line of business apps with Apps for Office, Office 365 Azure, and Windows Phone with Todd Baginski and Michael Sherman. Some of the screenshots that you saw of the apps here in the content app was actually the app that they're going to build live for you in the session. It's a really good deck. I've taken a look at it. I saw their demos. If you're interested in how to build these, please go take a look at that session. Rich extensions to the SharePoint apps using Microsoft Access. Can't tell you why, but I think it's a really good idea to go to that session. Lastly, when should you use SharePoint out of the box, add third-party apps or custom solutions with Richard Harbridge? That is a phenomenal session. Highly recommend you take a look at it. And if you have an opportunity to see Christian Buckley's session, alternatively as well. But so lastly, the calls to action here. Go take a look at the preview APIs. This is the key. I got this question on Twitter yesterday. Would you use it in production? No, it's a preview API. Okay? Please, don't use them in production. Go off and start testing. It's perfectly acceptable to go off and start building some of this stuff, trying it out, and wait for it. Get the real bits, finally, before you push everything out to production. Connect with the community. Go off and talk, you know, find OfficeSPDevUserVoice.com. You know, they're now on Stack Overflow as well. The product team actually is really, really excited about being on Stack Overflow. And build using the tools. Use the Office Dev tools for Visual Studio and the Office 365 API tools for Visual Studio as well. And last but not least, come visit me. From here, I'm going to head back over to our booth. I'll be there after the session if you have any questions. I look forward to getting a chance to chat. And thank you all for your attention this morning, and have a phenomenal conference. Thank you. If there are any other Q&As, if you wouldn't mind step up to the mic, I'd be happy to take Q&A for a couple of minutes before call it a day.